Welcome to the Side Action Podcast, the sports gambling show that covers everything in the world of sports betting from A through Z. We'll cover the four major sports, as well as anything and everything in between worth some action, and we'll increase the size of your bankroll. And here we go.
Welcome to the Side Action, episode 50. We made it to 50, Action. This is Jim Weglars, a.k.a. Wegs. You can follow me at Wegspool on Twitter and Instagram.
This is Steve Roberts, a.k.a. Action. You can follow me on Twitter at 31SRoberts.
Follow us at Side Action Pod on Twitter. So it is something to celebrate, 50 episodes. Doesn't feel like it, but I guess it's been, you know, a better part of a season and a quarter or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, time flies when you're having fun. So what can be more fun than handicapping games, football and basketball? Although I'm a little stressed out this week because I have so much to do between football and college basketball starting last night. It's been a lot on my plate. But
exactly, you got those three screens going. Maybe you need a fourth screen.
Oh man, it's too much sometimes. I have so many tabs open at once. It's hard to focus on one of them at one time.
That's right. Well, I will recap the weekend. Unfortunately, the Shockers had a rough outing on Saturday. The first half was excellent. We played well. We were up by two at the break. Really, we couldn't stop that team, but at the end of the half, they ran out of time. Unfortunately, your cousin and I kind of got into it a little bit at halftime. He was criticizing my defensive skills. I got very upset, you know, kind of wasn't focused in the start of the second half, and they kind of hit a big play when we weren't ready in the second half, kind of get the tide going their way. And in the end, we didn't score a single point in the second half and got housed 45-21.
Wow, not scoring in the second half will get you beat. You can just ask Northwestern about that on Saturday.
Ouch. That's right. You hit the big Hoosiers hosting Northwestern, which was one of our, you know, preview here. And it was a great game. Huh?
Yeah, the Hoosiers took it to them. It was a little chilly on Saturday night in Bloomington, but it was the first time in 25 years that Indiana hosted a Big Ten game while being bowl eligible at the same time. So it was a big party there in Bloomington. It was a good time.
Yeah, they're really good. I really like the Hoosiers. They won me some money too, so that's exciting. That's awesome. Well, let's jump into the episode. We will have a small legislative update this week, which is exciting. We'll jump into our recap from week 10 for college football, our week 11 picks, you know, going over our metrics, the SP Plus, and injuries and such. Then we'll jump into the NFL. A lot of interesting information in terms of general information about wins and ATS and everything. A few injuries in action of note are metrics that we go over in the NFL. And then finally, the circa picks, which, you know, we were okay. Not great, but it was kind of a weird weekend, in my opinion.
Yep.
And then hopefully we can kind of circle in on a few that we like before the lines come out tomorrow. We're taping this on Wednesday night, so it'll come out tomorrow by the time you guys all hear this. So anything else?
No, I don't think so.
Well, here we go. The legislative update I saw was the Crackman had on his Twitter that Colorado passed the sports gambling bill today on a very narrow margin, becoming the 19th state in the union to allow sports gambling. So that's exciting.
Yeah, I was reading all day how close it was. I think at one point it was down to like 50 votes this morning, day after the election day. So it's big news that Colorado passed it. Now that you have residents of Colorado that can get high and place bets on the Denver Broncos at the same time.
That's awesome. A double dip. Give me more reason to visit my dad. I haven't done that in a while.
So. There you go.
No, that's awesome. Obviously a huge, you know, Denver being a huge town, but I'm sure that there's already casinos out there. I don't know what the details of how it's going to be played out, but you know, lots of sports out in Colorado to bet on. So that's really exciting stuff. Well, let's go into college football. The recap, you know, kind of generally speaking, Georgia and Florida played. It was the biggest cocktail party that they don't like to call it the biggest cocktail party anymore.
Right.
And Georgia came up big. Unfortunately, Florida is running this gauntlet and just couldn't do it. And the Dogs covered by, you know, they're 6.5 barely, but they did it. And you called the under in that one, I believe, didn't you?
Yeah, I had a small bet on the under. I don't think we talked about it here on the podcast, but it was a good game. We were watching it down at the tailgate, and really, I think Georgia was in control throughout although the final score doesn't really show you that. They really were leading and probably should have won by much more than seven.
Right. A little aside from the weekend I didn't mention, after the game, the Shockers game, we went to Rinaldi's, and, you know, I think I detailed this to you that there was a bit of a betting on shots on some of these college football games. This was one of them. Myself and my cousin Tommy against a couple of the women from the Shockers team. And Tommy was all over Florida State. We'll talk about them in a minute. As I was all over Miami, and the person I was going against also was backing Florida State. When she was down a couple of shots, she tried to push it by getting Florida, and Georgia was winning for me again. So I kind of came out on the winning end of those bets as well.
Nice. Yeah, not too many shots in the system is always a good thing, in my opinion. So
that's
the next best thing to winning money.
Exactly. It's paying for shots for everybody. It's great. Anyway, let's get back into this. So Cincinnati, you've listed, they had a kind of a high-scoring game for them, which is weird. They have really good defense. They beat East Carolina 46-43, but really kind of should have lost that game, shouldn't they?
Yeah, it was really an interesting result, as they only won the game by three as 24-point favorites in that one. So kind of a surprise.
And you list here that the money line for East Carolina was plus 1,200, and they were close. Man, that was a rough one.
Yeah, that could have been a huge payday for someone.
Mm-hmm. What's this other note? Clemson and Auburn. What is that note there?
Notre Dame and Virginia Tech came down to the wire. Virginia Tech had the lead late in the game, and the Irish were driving and had to convert several late fourth down plays to get into scoring position, and then they punched in a touchdown at the very end to win but not cover as 17.5-point favorites.
Yeah, we were watching that game. They shouldn't have won that game. Somehow Virginia Tech's playing a little bit better. They turned their season around a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've also listed Auburn and Clemson. Now, Clemson had to cover, what, 47.5 or something crazy against Wofford. Well, is Wofford, they're not division, were they 1AA?
No, yeah, it's a FCS team in Wofford.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then Auburn, they didn't cover their 17.5, so some of those big teams didn't cover, but there were obviously others that did. You've got Memphis, and of course, you know, they were in our picks last week. Memphis, they did what they needed to do against SMU, and it was just a really high-scoring game. 54-48 was the final score. So I guess the SP Plus was right.
Yeah, Memphis has been an SP Plus darling all year long, and they really took it to SMU. At one point, they had a much larger lead than that. SMU tacked on a couple of late scores. And interestingly enough, they decided to go for two late in the game after scoring a touchdown to cut the lead to eight. And a lot of folks laid 6 or even 6.5 with Memphis. And with that two-point conversion, they ended up closing the game to within six and busted the cover for a lot of SMU backers. It was quite the discussion early
this
week.
But not for the people at 5.5 like us, right?
That's correct, yeah. All shows you always got to get the best of the number.
Absolutely. To roll into our picks from last week, we did much better than usual. We had Indiana, of course, we've already mentioned. They just destroyed Northwestern. Was the final 38-3 or something?
Yeah, 38-3, and bizarre on Saturday. All day we kept watching the line drop. I think it got down as low as 7.5. Yeah. I ended up buying some more in on Indiana, -7. And I really couldn't figure out why the line moved like that.
Right.
And then right before kickoff, it ticked back up a little bit. And in the end, clearly Indiana was the right side as they dominated the game.
Yeah, that's what we expected. I expected them to dominate. And then when the line dropped, I was really worried. Was there another injury, or somehow did people had an inside knowledge that Pat Fitzgerald had a good game plan or something? But thankfully, that wasn't true.
Yeah, Northwestern's offense is terrible, and I'm not sure they can move the ball against any Big Ten teams right now.
No, exactly. The other ones didn't do so great. Kansas was not a match for Kansas State. Kansas State looks like a good ball club right now. They were 6.5-point dogs at home against Kansas State, and Kansas State just laid a whooping on them. And it also went over the total of 54, which we thought, well, you were on the over. I thought you were on the over.
No, it actually went under 38-10.
Oh, you're kidding.
Final
score.
Oh,
that's right.
Yeah.
You did beat them. That's right. You were saying it was like the old line, but actually it just was Kansas State beat them so badly.
Yeah, and I read that the Kansas players after the game said that the Kansas State team really looked like they were focused out there and had a game plan that they just weren't expecting. So it's clear that new coach from South Dakota State, I believe.
Kleiman. South Dakota State or North Dakota? South Dakota State? Okay.
Chris Kleiman has come in there and really breathed some life into this Kansas State team.
Yeah, they're a good ball club. The other one that didn't quite work out was Baylor. Man, I don't know what happened with this team. They were at home against West Virginia. They barely won. They only won by, 3 points, I think?
Yeah, 17-14.
They were trailing in the game, too, I believe. And they were 17.5-point favorites. So, you know, fading West Virginia didn't work out, but I'm going to try it again this week. A little preview.
Yeah. Kind of a classic case of just the team thinking they could show up on Thursday night and walk away with a victory. Didn't seem like they were ready to play.
Right. The other one we missed out on was, I guess I did, Oregon at USC. USC was 4.5-point dogs at home. They looked pretty good in the first quarter, up 10-0, and then Oregon just crushed them. They had that second quarter, they scored 28 points. They had a defensive score, and they ended the half on a kickoff return. So after Oregon cut to, I think it was 21-17 or something, then Oregon houses a kickoff to take the big lead and kind of crush the Trojan spirit and end up winning really easily in this one, which was kind of surprising.
Yeah, bizarre first half. I was reading that the second quarter especially had some very interesting plays. So,
yeah,
big win for Oregon, though.
Oh, yeah, they're good. They're really good. The ones that we came up on top, we were all over Tulane. They did end up covering the 10 points. They won by 12 against Tulsa. We talked about the Memphis one already at 5.5. Mm-hmm. They covered Miami. I know it was tough to – they didn't want to jump on board with me there, but at least they won me some shots. Miami was a 3-point dog at Florida State, and they were the better team all game. They won easily in that one. And then Oklahoma State, they took down TCU. We thought maybe there was a letdown there, but not at all. Oklahoma State, that was a team you can't back. That's right. Mm-hmm. You can't back that Oklahoma State, but they actually came through in this one against TCU.
Yeah, I just can't figure them out. I've sworn off that portion of the Big 12. So.
No, I don't blame you. Well, in the SP Plus, here we go. Ohio State, full, 1.3 points ahead of the pack over Alabama at 2, LSU at 3, and then you've got Oklahoma at 4, Clemson at 5, they're creeping up again, Georgia at 6, Penn State at 7, Wisconsin at 8, Utah at 9, and look at this, Minnesota at 10. It's a lot of Big Ten teams in there.
Yeah, sure is. Minnesota surprise debutant into the top 10 this week. And it's a good timing because now they face off against fellow top 10 opponent in Penn State this weekend. Mm-hmm. So that's really probably the one surprise that jumps out at me on this list. I think all the others are rightly deserving.
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree. Minnesota's had a really soft schedule. We will talk about that later in the picks, but Penn State is legit. We will see if Minnesota is for real because, they're undefeated. They're going to be hosting Penn State. Somebody's going to go home a loser, of course.
Mm-hmm.
You've got some injuries to speak of in college football. You've got one for Arkansas. Not sure if that's that relevant. We're in Georgia Tech, too. But, Indiana, we talked about this dude. Michael Penix is a great player, but we can never figure out if he's going to play or not.
Yeah, well, now we can know for sure because a report came out earlier this week that he has a broken collarbone and he's out for the season.
Oh, man, bummer.
I know. I knew you'd be bummed.
Gosh, he's like my guy, but obviously Ramsey's played well for them, and the offense didn't skip a beat last week, so they're doing something right.
Yeah, I mean, Peyton Ramsey has stepped in almost every game this year and looked phenomenal himself. He's completing over 70% of his passes, and I'm sure the offense will be just fine without Penix.
You've got Vanderbilt listed, their quarterback. It looks like he left the game with an injury. Not sure if that's relevant, but your Boilers, sorry, man. Jack Plummer looks like he's out for the season, too.
Yeah, that's too bad because Plummer was really starting to look good throwing the ball, and they're certainly going to miss him. Now moving on to the third-string quarterback, who is quite a question mark, to say the least.
Yeah, for sure. Well, let's jump into our spots this week. I kind of got ahead of you in this one, so I'll list mine out first.
Yeah.
Central Florida is at Tulsa. They're 17-point favorites. I know I've been trying to pick on Tulsa for the last couple weeks. Not because I think they're terrible. It's more that their opponents, the American, is so strong. It seems to me that Central Florida is rolling at this point. They've got their offense back. SP Plus says it should be more like a 20 or 21 point margin. It is at Tulsa. However, I still think the Golden Knights are going to roll over, you know, over the, what are they, the Hurricanes, or what is Tulsa now?
Yeah, the Hurricane. I think it's a Golden Hurricane.
The Golden Knights against the Golden Hurricane. Uh-huh. There you go.
I agree with this one. Tulsa has actually turned in some good results against the spread, at least, where they've covered as underdogs against SMU, Cincinnati, and Memphis in conference this year. But they're giving up a ton of yards and almost 6 yards per play, and UCF is a team that's certainly capable of taking advantage of that. They have a pretty high scoring margin, the Golden Knights this season, winning games by 19 points per game, and that will be good enough to cover in this one. So I think that's a good pick.
Good to hear. The next one is Washington State at Cal. Kind of trying to figure this one out. To me, Cal really struggles to score now. They had a good defense early in the year, but they're just not a team that can put the, you know, points on the board. SP Plus has this at 13. This line is kind of going down, though. It's at 7.5 at the moment, you know, State being on the road. Any idea why this line would be this way?
I haven't seen much movement. It looked like to me it was 7.5 all week. Did you see something different on open?
Yeah, maybe when I first checked, I was looking at something else. I'm not sure.
Yeah, it may have. I didn't catch it myself, but I agree completely with this one. Cal has just been terrible on offense, 122nd ranked at 16 points per game, and they're 113th according to Bill Connolly at SP Plus. Mm-hmm. And on the flip side, Washington State is a team that's really capable of putting up lots of points on the board. So I think the handicap here is just trying to determine if Alan Gordon and company can put up points against the Cal defense. And right. If that's the case, you got to figure that Cal is going to be held down on the other side, and it's a good chance they could cover this number. They're both coming off a bye, so no real advantage there. But the week before that, Cal was beaten down by Utah 35-0. And it does appear that the second-string quarterback, Modster, is still going to be out. So Cal is going to be sticking with the third-stringer, Spencer Barash, who has just been awful this year.
Gotcha.
I think it's a good pick.
All right. So far, so good. Here's another one. Texas Tech at West Virginia. I know I'm a broken record with this stuff. West Virginia somehow played well against Baylor, but I don't think they're going to do the same with Texas Tech. Now, this line started off almost at a pick'em. I actually bet it at -1, but now it's Texas Tech -2.5 on the road. I don't know, unless there's injuries or something, I'm looking at this at more like a 6.5 to 5.5 point game. Am I missing something with this game?
I don't think so. As far as I could tell, I didn't see any injuries or information on this one. I'm going to have a hard time getting to the window, though. Like I said earlier, these are two teams, especially in the Big 12, that I have no real interest in playing on or against, so I'm going to pass on this one.
Gotcha. My next one is Miami. I know I was dogging this team all year. I won my win total bet, as I told you already, for this team. So I'm just trying to cash more tickets, but I'm on their side now. They're playing against Louisville at home. The Canes have actually played pretty good the last couple weeks. I know that they kind of got lucky at Pitt, but they dominated Florida State last week. I actually bet this game at -5. It's up to 6.5 now. From what I can see on Bet Online.
Mm-hmm.
So it may be getting a little bit out of hand for you later bettors, but it's still supposed to be a much bigger margin, more like 11 to 11.5. So I still think there's value on the Canes.
Yeah, this is one where I'm going to go against you, actually. Before we jumped on here, I bought this one up to 7 on Louisville, and I think it really has to do with last week's opponents, or non-opponent in Louisville's case. They had a bye, and Scott Satterfield is a coach who is new to this team. He came from Appalachian State, and I think that he's really going to dig in and should have a game plan with Juwan Pass and company to play well against this Miami team. And then on the other side, you've got Miami, who's coming off their biggest game of the year, which they're with their arch rival Florida State. So I have a feeling that Miami might be a little bit fat and happy after that one, and I'm going to back the underdog in this game.
Okay, a little letdown. A little side note, Christina Ridgeway definitely loves Manny Diaz, the coach of the Canes, just FYI.
Like in a football coach kind of way, or a crush kind of way?
On a crush. She was crushing pretty hard on Saturday. Okay. All right, on to my next pick, which again, this is a strange line to me. Baylor is at TCU. TCU is a really good team, but Baylor, they had their little hiccup last week. I think they're going to bounce back. They're only 1-point favorites at TCU. I kind of feel like that game last week is going to help them this week and kick up a notch, and this squad really should be a bigger favorite on the road. You think that Baylor's suspect because of their strength of schedule.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think this is another one where I'm looking at the other side. I think that TCU has shown a pretty solid defense this season, and especially at home, I would expect that TCU is going to get up for this game. It's probably one of the biggest games left on their schedule against the in-state rival Baylor Bears, and I think that it could be a victory for TCU.
Okay. I mean, it is a tight line. Another tight line game that I just wanted to discuss, I didn't bet this one. Tennessee is at Kentucky. Let me see what I have the line at being. Tennessee is a 1-point underdog at Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
I just think Tennessee's actually playing better this year. It seems like the talent that they have has improved over years past. And I think they should actually be favored in this game. I don't think Kentucky's any great shakes. And I wish I would have gotten it a little bit earlier because I think I saw it actually a little bit bigger line earlier, you know, when Sunday or something when I looked at it. Just didn't bet it, but I wanted to discuss it with you before I locked in.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest with you, these are two teams so far this year that I haven't really dug into too much, mm-hmm. especially after the Kentucky quarterback injury and Lynn Bowden came in to play quarterback, who was a wide receiver.
Right.
I've just kind of written them off in terms of betting. I did bet against them 1 week, actually, and Bowden ripped off a number of yards against Missouri and beat me. So I don't think I'm going to be going against Kentucky, and especially in this spot where they're at home. I would probably pass on this one personally.
Okay. Last one identified, which is, you know, a team that I can swear off since they lost both the season total and the Big 12 title in Texas. Kansas State, I kind of believe in this team now. They've played well, obviously beating Oklahoma. They rolled against Kansas. Now they've traveled to Texas. I actually bet it at 5.5, and I feel stupid. Now it's at 7 points favorites for Texas. I don't really see why Texas is favored by this much in this game. In my view, at least at SP Plus, this team's about even on a neutral. So are they really going to give 7 points, you know, like basically a 7-point home field advantage to Texas here?
Yeah, it may be more of just a situational handicap here.
Okay.
I think when you look at these two teams' schedules, you have Texas, who is coming off of a bye the week before, losing that game at TCU. And then you have Kansas State, which has come off of 3 big wins. They beat TCU week 8, and then on the road, at home against Oklahoma, and then on the road last week at Kansas. So I think that situationally, Texas definitely has a big edge in this one. Now, I mean, you're spot on. The metrics do point Kansas State, but I probably would not be going against this situational spot.
Okay. Good to know. Okay, well, what about some stuff you've got? You got a couple listings on here.
Yeah, the big game this week is LSU and Alabama. And
that's right.
The major question mark in this one is Tua's health. He's got that ankle injury and required surgery, in fact. So although I really wanted to back LSU, the line is down to under a touchdown now. And I'm not sure that I can get to the window if I don't see 7 points on the Tigers. But one angle that I do like is the total. Right now it's 63.5. And although it's a super high total for LSU-Alabama game, I looked at the last 5 years and it's been 51, 45, 46, and 47. And all five of those games went under. However, I think that this year you have quite a bit different matchup. Mm-hmm. Even if Tua doesn't play, I expect that Alabama is going to have some success on their side of the ball. LSU has a couple of defensive injuries and one suspension. Linebacker Michael Divinity was dismissed from the team altogether, and he was probably their best pass rusher. So with the Tua injury, I think that's going to loom large. Ultimately, they're not going to be able to get pressure on him like they could have if Divinity was playing.
Right, right. The only thing I would say, I mean, it doesn't scare you a little bit. I mean, you think that Auburn's defense is that much better than Alabama's, for example? Because, I mean, obviously in that game at Baton Rouge, Auburn kind of held down that offense a little bit for the first time all year in LSU, and I don't know Alabama U has great talent, but So you just think it's going to be a light show because of those injuries and suspension?
Yeah, and I mean, I do agree on the scoreboard. It appears that Auburn held them down a little bit. But if you look into the box score, LSU ended up over 500 yards in that game. And they were really moving the ball up and down the field. It just came down to red zone opportunities. So I do think that Joe Burrow and company is going to have a lot of success on their side, too. They have been putting points up in bunches this year, and Burrow has been outstanding. So I do think that this total is going to fly over.
I will tell you, for your futures pick on the Heisman for Joe Burrow, which you had, what was it, 18 or 20 to 1, something like
18
that?
18 to 1, yeah. It really comes down to this game. I was also considering a way that I could hedge off that and probably end up betting on Alabama, although the money line is a little bit too steep for me right now. I might wait to see if LSU jumps out to an early lead and then get a live bet on Alabama money line.
And I believe Burrow is the favorite at this time, isn't he?
Yes, he is. Yeah, down to plus 150 in some shops.
Nice call, so, actually.
I had considered coming back on Tua, but I would be worried that could bite me in the butt if for some reason Chase Young or Justin Fields end up coming up and winning that trophy, then I'll be losing two bets.
Well, I agree with you. You got to hold off a little bit. All right. Your last spot involves the other kind of sort of big game on the slate. Minnesota against Penn State. We talked about it a little bit. Minnesota's—they're getting 7 points at home, which is always kind of crazy. SP Plus has us at 1.5 or 1.6 for Penn State, so it's a good identification there. What are you thinking? I'm a little worried about the strength of schedule personally. That's why I didn't back it initially. It certainly, from a metric standpoint, would be the right side. I'm just worried Minnesota hasn't played anybody.
Yeah, I would agree with that. They certainly haven't. Their biggest wins this season have been Nebraska, Illinois, and Purdue.
Right.
So, and they struggled.
That's a murderer's row.
They struggled early on against some very lower level opponents at home in some of those games. So I do agree. But on the flip side, I don't think Penn State has really played anyone who's that great either. Mm-hmm. The toughest offense that they've faced this season has been Michigan, and Michigan has been playing a little bit better lately, but if you recall, Michigan actually had some success against this team, and Minnesota's offense has been climbing up the boards. They're now 8th ranked in offense per SP+, and they're averaging over 10 yards per pass attempt on that side of the ball. So I think Tanner Morgan and company is going to be able to have a little bit of success in this one, but at the same time, I don't think it's going to take a lot for them to cover in this game. That's a low total at only 47. So I think catching a full touchdown is going to be very valuable. And I keep going back to that game just 2 weeks ago where Penn State played on the road at Michigan State. And it was a very similar spot. And I took 7 with Michigan State. And when you compare these two teams, taking 7 with Minnesota now seems like a much better bet. And I feel like you're getting some value there when you look at those two side by side.
I gotcha. Now, would there be a situation where you would consider a middle if that came down? So now you're getting 7 now with the underdog, and then let's say all of a sudden it gets bet down, you know, to like 4.5 like it did in the Sparty situation. Would you come back on that, or you're going to stay on that one side?
Yeah, I mean, it would depend on how far it went. The move between 5 and 6 isn't really that substantial, but if you're getting down between like 3.5 and 3, it could be a different story. I have no inclination to do that at this point. I really do think that Minnesota is going to be the side in this one, and I'm going to stick with that bet, I think.
Okay. Sounds great. Okay, well, that covers our college stuff. Let's jump into the NFL. It's a lot of crazy things happened this weekend. One of the things that you've noted is that home teams destroyed it. I mean, they were 11-2 straight up. You can't count, you know, London game. Mm-hmm. And they were 12-1 against the spread. So it's totally the opposite trend that we've seen pretty much all season.
Yeah, just a wild weekend. And I read somewhere where a few bettors had just parlayed all of the home money lines and ended up winning like 7,000-1 or some crazy number. But yeah, I mean, not something that we'll ever see again, I'm sure, at least certainly not this season. So I wouldn't be going trying to back that trend.
No, no doubt. We had talked about how there were so many home favorites. But one of the ones that did not do that, that was the Cowboys. They were a road winner on Monday Night Football. It was kind of close initially, but then they opened it up. And actually, that last defensive score was kind of a big score. There was, if you saw the game, I'm sure you did, there was kind of that last second fumble recovery, and they took it to the house, and that took it over the total.
Yeah, swung millions of dollars in Vegas and across the U.S., I'm sure, on that last touchdown. And weirdly enough, the referee threw a flag in and then decided to pick it up right as the ball was going towards the end zone. So very bizarre indeed. And that was after the black cat ran across the field.
Oh, I know. That was crazy. Supposedly, the Cowboys played better after that black cat was running all around the place. They probably have it in there to, you know, take care of the rats or something.
Yeah.
So anyway, what's our overall tracking for against the spread for road teams and all that?
Yeah, road teams are still in the lead against the spread, 73-56, hitting at a 56.6% clip. And the dogs are still leading as well, 74-58. So gotcha. Road teams and underdogs still looking pretty strong so far this season. And a little bit of a bounce back for overs this week, 9-5. But on the season, the unders are still in front, very slim margin, 69-65.
That's right. So it's kind of swinging back a little bit, getting back to that 50-50. I mean, even the you know, the road teams and the dogs, it will come back. It just takes its time.
So. Yeah, that's right. We're about halfway through, so
yep.
Water is finding its level.
It always does. So some injury notes. Jacoby Brissett from your squad. He sprained his MCL in the game, but I tell you, Hoyer played well. I mean, he came in, and even though he didn't throw a lot of yards, he had some, again, very efficient in the red zone at 3 touchdown passes. Now, he did get a pick six.
You know, I was going to say, one for the other field. Team.
So he had 4 touchdowns. And you also put DeSean Jackson. He's had an interesting season. He's only played like 6 plays all year. And he's on IR, and then Cam Newton, he's on IR for the rest of the year, so you're not going to see Cam Newton. It's the Kyle Allen era in Carolina.
Yeah, we now have Josh Allen, Kyle Allen, and Brandon Allen in Denver, so it's hard to keep
Allen's
him straight.
Allen's everywhere, that's right. The last is Josh Gordon is on the Seahawks for now.
True.
Whatever.
And I didn't put on here, Kareem Hunt returns this week as well from his suspension for the Browns.
Maybe that has something to do with that handicap or something, but we'll talk about that in a minute. Go over the net yards per play metrics for us.
Okay, updated this week, and Dallas Cowboys still on top at 1.6. Mm-hmm. Behind them is San Francisco and Kansas City neck and neck, 1.3 and 1.2. Minnesota's at 1, followed by New England, the Rams, then New Orleans, and Buffalo. So really a lot of the strong teams here in the NFL near the top of this list, as they are week in, week out.
That's right. The bottom end is kind of exactly the opposite. You've got Miami, Cincinnati, the Jets, Giants, Arizona, and Washington. Again, the other anomaly at 26th is Indianapolis. So maybe it will start working its way out that they start losing some games. You know, the last 2 weeks, our guy Vinatieri saved us. He missed the field goal, gave us the cover in the Steelers game. But it's taken 2 weeks in a row where it's been to a last-second field goal because they've been basically outplayed in each of the last 2 games.
Yeah, and again, another week and another game where they play down to the wire, and now they're laying a massive number. So
yes.
We can talk about that later.
A little preview. In the WEGS Index, it's a little dissimilar, actually, because the Patriots aren't that high. Patriots and 49ers are really tied for first in the index. Then you got the Cowboys. They're just right there like you've got them, the Vikings, and then the Ravens as well, which I guess they're not on your list there. And then the Saints and Texans are actually tied for sixth in the metrics. So as I've said before, New Orleans started off slow and is kind of gaining momentum. And ironically, Houston's playing extremely well without J.J. Watt. I mean, they crushed the Jaguars. I killed our pick, but they were clearly the better team, and I guess it doesn't matter if they're missing J.J. Watt on defense.
Yeah, and what is the WEGS Index take on the Baltimore beatdown of New England? Apparently, that defense isn't quite so good as we thought.
Yeah, you know, I watched that game. It was pretty clear. It was interesting. I'm assuming you watched it too. I do think that they weren't ready for Lamar Jackson. I don't know if it was really the offense, even though they did run the ball effectively early. a lot of times they had Lamar Jackson bottled up, but he just ran around like a video game and got free for passes or runs. I did think that New England there did figure things out. So the first seven, it was 17-0 in that game.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, Baltimore was dominating. I was going to start texting and saying, oh, you got this in the bag. You know,
I'm glad you didn't do that.
And then immediately, because actually Christina asked me about the pick, and I said, I'm going to take Patriots. You know, you can take Baltimore if you want. She said she took Baltimore in her little pick'em. And then they came back, and defensively, the Ravens have issues, and they couldn't stop Brady and you know, that offense. It was that big fumble with Julian Edelman that they housed for a touchdown that really made the difference, because it felt like the Patriots are going to win that game now. They've got the momentum. They know what they're doing. They're stopping the offense. And then after that touchdown, even though the Patriots answered, I felt like Jackson and the group got enough momentum. And they actually converted kind of a couple key plays. It was like a 4th-and-1 and maybe like a 3rd-and-short. You know, they just kept running the ball right at the Patriots. So, no, agreed. I mean, they definitely they beat the Wegs Index and they won the game. We'll see what happens if they play in the playoffs.
Yeah, I can't wait to see that rematch if it does happen. That would be fascinating.
Absolutely. Well, into our Circa picks, we went 2-3. Not so great. We're up to, you know, still 1,142nd in the overall contest. 11.5 points, I think, behind the leader.
Mm-hmm.
We're at 665th in the quarter. That's what I'm looking at, the quarter here.
All right. I like your focus.
Me too. And there were a bunch of people that went 5-0 this week, which is a little surprising. I thought that it was kind of a tough slate. So we got to bounce back, but at least we got a couple of wins. I mean, maybe, you know, lucky with the Steelers.
Yeah.
So, Green Bay just stunk. I don't know what they were doing.
Just going to say it. Unlucky with the Packers. I think that it's going to be interesting to find out weeks and months down the road what really happened, because it appears to me that they probably went out and partied in L.A. on Friday or Saturday night and just didn't show up on Sunday.
Yeah. They only had 66 yards through three quarters. I mean, look, the Chargers are playing better, you know, with Bosa and Ingram back, but they weren't ready to play. I mean, they were getting crushed.
Yep.
All right, well, let's jump into this week. A lot of interesting lines, and I've kind of already noted that these lines are much tighter to my index this week, so it's not quite as easy to pick out the differences between the index and the lines.
Mm-hmm.
We won't pick this game, although I think it might be an interesting discussion. The Chargers are 1-point favorites at Oakland. They are playing better. Although this is the last primetime game in Oakland ever.
Wow.
And just think about that.
Yeah.
I mean, they might make the playoffs, but it is their last listed primetime game at this point, and that's, you know, it's their last season in Oakland.
Something tells me there'll be quite a few more in Las Vegas when they move there.
So that's the only thing with the handicap. I would probably go on the Oakland side, even though the index says the Chargers are a much better team. The next one is Baltimore. They're 10-point favorites at Cincinnati. Really interesting game here. Baltimore's clearly the better team. They're coming off this big win. You don't see super letdowns in the NFL, but it is a divisional game, a home dog divisional game. But, man, are you getting behind the new quarterback? What is it, Finley? Ryan Finley? Is that his name?
Ryan Finley, king of the preseason. I'm all on board with Cincinnati in this spot. I think it's a home run position. Cincinnati's coming off the bye. They've changed quarterbacks. And they're catching 10 points at home in a division game. And you add into that, Baltimore is coming off of a huge win on Sunday Night Football against New England. This is almost like a blind bet for me.
Is AJ Green back too?
I'm not sure about that. I know that he's been practicing, but I haven't seen a status update. That would certainly be something interesting to look at before we lock this one in.
Right. You know, I'm not against you here. I do think that's the right side. It's just hard to go against a Baltimore team, you know, when you see them playing so well. But certainly when we can consider 10 points is a lot in the NFL. Here.
Yeah, I mean, surely the line will be super sharp and come out at like 9 or 9.5, though.
Exactly. The next one is Atlanta at New Orleans. You're listing it at 13-point favorites for New Orleans. Look, I was going to ask you this, but I should have asked you before the pod. You know, sometimes I just think of things and don't put it down. Has New Orleans covered every number since like week one or week two, I guess?
Sure seems like it. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I know that they covered at least 5 times against me when I bet against them. So,
Yeah, 13's a big number, but Atlanta stinks. And even though they're coming off the bye, I don't think Matt Ryan's playing. So it's a Schaub matchup on the road in New Orleans. New Orleans is also coming off the bye, right? Mm-hmm. And they might get Kamara back. Hopefully they will. You've got Drew Brees. It seems like an easy New Orleans matchup too, but, you know, I mean, it is a divisional rivalry.
Yeah, and just to update you, 0-2 to start the season, but 6 straight covers for the Saints going back to week 3.
Get on that train. Well, I'd consider them too. I mean, it is a big number, but we can look at it later in the week, I guess.
Yeah, this reminds me of exactly the same spot last year. I think it was going into Thanksgiving where the Saints were laying this similar number at home, and they ended up getting a late cover, I believe, to get over the 2-touchdown mark.
Yeah, good memory. All right, what about this one, Action? Buffalo at Cleveland. Cleveland somehow is a 2.5-point favorite at home. Maybe the Kareem Hunt coming back is tipping the scales. But as the WEGS Index told us last week, and I mentioned on the podcast, Cleveland sucks. And they go to Denver, even with the backup quarterback. And Cleveland had no shot in that game. They were never going to win that game in Denver. Yes, they're going home, but Buffalo's better.
Yeah, I think you're probably right here, and it's probably going to be a contrarian pick because I imagine there's going to be a lot of square bettors and maybe even some pros who think that Cleveland has to turn it around in this spot because it really is kind of a home run spot for them coming back home, and they're getting Kareem Hunt back. But I know that you and I both like Buffalo, and although their strength of schedule has been very questionable, and I think the defense is probably a little bit weaker than we originally thought early in the season, I do think that it would be Buffalo or pass for me on this one.
Yeah, for sure. The Giants are playing at the Jets, quote unquote. They're obviously playing in the Meadowlands. It'll just say the Jets on in the end zones instead of the Giants. The Giants, rightfully so, are getting 2.5 points against this Jets team that is just in a spiral. I'm not really sure what's going on with the Jets. It seems like a top-down problem, where the management is kind of sold out. They actually literally traded Leonard Williams to the Giants, so he's going to have a revenge game in and of himself. I mean, yeah, the Giants here, personally, I don't know what you're thinking.
Yeah, I agree. I think the Jets are just going nowhere good right now, and at least the Giants have some semblance of an offense that they can rely on. Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley are starting to connect a little bit, and I think that even though this is a home game for the Jets, there's going to be plenty of Giants fans in the stadium. So I don't really chalk that up as much of an advantage. So I do agree. I think it's a Giants game here.
Okay. Kansas City at Tennessee. Kansas City's a 3.5-point favorite on the road. Man, this Kansas City team, they're kind of actually playing better. I mean, obviously they beat the Vikings outright. Beating our pick was a tough beat in the end, even though what was crazy on that game, you know, obviously we had it at, what was it, 2, I think. We had +2 for the Vikings, and I think they ended up with about a 5-point favorite on the road, and then they lost outright. Heavy contest pick for that game.
Man.
The Chiefs are balling, dude. I mean, they're actually playing better defense, too. They kind of stuffed Dalvin Cook, so maybe I don't really know what changes have been made. I thought they had injuries on the defensive line, but they're playing a better scheme. Tennessee, that's all they can do is run. Tannehill's been playing better. Do you see any way to go with the Titans at home getting these points, or what are you thinking?
Yeah, I do. I would lean to Tennessee in this game, especially when you look at the board now, and it looks like there's Mahomes injury news coming out because the game is now up to 6 points. So that would lead me to believe that Patrick Mahomes is going to be out there on Sunday, and I'm not really sure how effective he's going to be. Certainly can't be 100% after that injury, and I know that they probably wouldn't put him out there if he wasn't physically able to play, but I still think that this is a good spot for Tennessee coming home and catching a large number. It's likely going to be a lower scoring game just based on the way they play football, and I would lean to the Titans. What do you think about that?
Well, 5.5 I would. When I saw 3.5 per the index, it's actually right in line of what it should be. If it's going to go up to 5.5 and 6, it's too many points. Now, granted, it's hard to say. You know, you haven't had, you know, Mahomes for a couple weeks, but it's really interesting. When Mahomes plays, it feels like that defense plays like crap. When Moore was playing, they kind of balled out for a couple of weeks here. So it's hard to say. I kind of feel like even if we're leaning Tennessee here, I don't know. I just feel like a stay away spot, but we can discuss it more on Saturday morning.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's probably more of a pass than a play. But if Mahomes does play, I think one of the big issues is just how quickly they score. You know, they have these explosive plays, and then their defense ends up being on the field for longer, which makes them play more poorly. So,
true. Good point. That was a, what was it, Lombardiism?
Yeah. The better defense is less defense.
That's right. The next game is Arizona at Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay is a 4.5-point favorite at home. This is, again, pretty much in line with the index. I don't love this Tampa team. Arizona's been actually covering some numbers. This should be a total shootout, by the way. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're a fantasy player, put your guys in this game. But I don't know who to trust here. I mean, obviously, we didn't trust Arizona a couple of weeks ago with the Giants, and that kind of hurt us. I don't know. What are your thoughts on this game?
Yeah, I mean, Arizona has been covering a lot of numbers. They're 4-5 against the spread. I'm sorry, 4-1 against the spread in their last five games. Right. And I think this offense is really starting to click a little bit more. And it does seem like this number is a little bit high for Tampa Bay to be laying right now. They were a sharp pick last week at Seattle and played really well and ended up getting the push or the loss for a lot of bettors after the touchdown in overtime. But I would probably say it's Arizona or pass for me.
Okay. No, I agree with you on that one for sure. The next game is Detroit at Chicago. Look, my Bears stink. I mean, they actually almost covered, which was crazy because that first half could have been the worst half of football they've played in a long time.
Yeah.
Even worse than the Saints. And then they came back. Then they kind of played like they did in London against Oakland. They were kind of coming back, gave me hope, and then, of course, got dashed at the end. I still don't see how this team can be favored against anybody. I know that they're home. You know, the index says that it's probably right. They're supposed to be favored by, you know, 2 or 3 points, but I don't know, man. This team, you can't trust them. Trubisky, they can't get in the end zone. I think that they said that if you take out the one quarter against Washington, Trubisky hasn't led them into a touchdown or something.
Wow.
Some weird stat like that. Or he hasn't thrown a touchdown pass since that game or something like that. So it's just hard to trust the Bears here. It would be a Detroit or pass for me.
Yeah, I totally agree. I don't think you're going to be laying the points with Chicago right now. And it really makes you wonder if there's something or some event that is going to snap them out of this funk. I mean, do you see any way? Can they go to a quarterback change? Had they consider going to Chase Daniel? What's your feel for that?
Well, I watched the game with Bears fans on Sunday. We were all chanting for Daniel in the first half. I think that Nagy's very stubborn. I don't think he's going to do it. Yeah. And he's going to go down with the ship. I think that there's a couple things happening, too. I think that Pagano is not as good a defensive coordinator as Fangio, and that's showing up week in and week out. Plus, this team isn't forcing the turnovers that they did last year, making the short fields and really scoring. They scored a lot of defensive touchdowns last year.
Right.
So it was making Trubisky's job easy. And I think even last year, he wasn't that great through the first 3 or 4 games until he had that 5-touchdown effort against Tampa, and he seemed to get some confidence. I would personally go to Daniel. I would go to Daniel all the way. But all signs point that they're not going to do it. At least that's what I'm following on Twitter and various beat writers. So,
Interesting.
I mean, their season's spiraling out of control. They lose another game, I think they're out. I mean, you know, they got to win like 10 games in the NFC. So.
Right. Yeah, I mean, the playoff hopes are dashed.
Yeah. We got Miami at Indy. We kind of referenced it already. Indy's 10.5-point favorites right now. And I don't think Brissett's going to play. It's going to be Hoyer, right?
Well, I did read that Brissett practiced a little bit today. So it ended up just being a sprained MCL. And it's likely just going to be a pain tolerance thing. And he does wear that brace already. So there's a chance he goes. But regardless of the quarterback, I think this is way too many points. We've talked about it week over week that Indianapolis is not a team that's set up to get big margin. And I think on the other side, you see this Miami Dolphins team that has actually been a little bit spry the last couple of weeks. They ended up winning their first game. Congrats to them. even though
they've covered the last 4 weeks in a row, right?
You may be right. I haven't followed that closely, but definitely a team that's playing with more motivation than I expected they would. So I think that 10.5 is way too many points.
Oh, there's no question. I mean, 10.5, as long as Fitzpatrick is playing, I think he gives them a shot. Now, the Colts hopefully will get back to what they do best and just run the ball. But, you know, the thing about Hoyer is, you know, I saw him firsthand in Chicago. He's a capable backup, but there will be games where he just gives the ball up. He actually did it a little bit against the Steelers in that pass rush. Miami doesn't have that kind of defense, but, you know, Miami's been keeping the games close even when they're losing. So 10.5 is just too many points.
Mm-hmm. I think we can pretty much lock this one in. Obviously, we'll be largely dependent on the number, though.
Right. The next one is Rams at Pittsburgh. Rams are 3.5-point favorites on the road. Interesting spot. It's pretty much where it should be in terms of the index here, just so you know. Okay. Pittsburgh's playing better. There's no question. They've been rising up the index. They're playing. You can see it on the field. Tomlin finally got a hold of this team. But they still give up pretty big plays. And if the Rams, you know, they got Cooper Kupp and the gang. They don't have Brandon Cooks, I don't believe. But the only other thing is Goff doesn't play well on the road. So it's an interesting spot. It's kind of stay away. I don't know which team to trust here.
Yeah, I think another big thing that we should look at is the weather, because Goff is terrible in cold weather games. If you remember last year in Chicago, that Sunday night football, he was so bad because it was cold. Terrible. And I know it's going to be brutally cold here in the Midwest this weekend, so something that we should look at. But before that, I was probably leaning to the Rams, and I think that Sean McVay coming out of the bye week should have a game plan ready for this one, knowing that they need to get back on track and gear up for their playoff push.
Right, for sure. Okay, we've got Carolina at Green Bay. Green Bay is a 5.5-point favorite. Like we said, we don't know what happened to Green Bay last week. 7-1 goes into the Chargers and just lays an egg. Carolina has played pretty well. Kyle Allen does his thing. He did turn the ball over the last couple weeks. You really like Carolina here.
Yeah, I do. I think that Kyle Allen has really shown that he's capable of being an NFL quarterback, and outside of his occasional fumble or two, which strangely enough hasn't really come back to haunt them at all so far this season, I think that they have a good offense, and McCaffrey is playing at MVP-type levels. He's on pace for over 2,000 yards and 20 touchdowns. So a player like that on the team, as long as he's healthy and out there, I think they have a chance to beat anyone. And certainly on the other side of that ball, Green Bay's defense has been not good this year, and I expect that they're going to give up a ton of yards to Carolina, and 5.5 seems like a lot of points for a defense that's going to give up that much yardage. What do you think?
I don't know. I guess it's just kind of a general narrative that Rodgers led teams at Lambeau cover numbers, and they didn't cover against the Lions, although it was kind of a sweat. They're usually pretty good at home, and obviously they got crushed last week, but that seemed to be an anomaly for this team. I'm not really sure. It's going to be – this number's tricky. If it's 5.5, it'll probably be 6 or something. It'll make it really hard to take, or maybe 5. It's hard for me to go against the pack here, I guess. I think it's the right number per the index again, but that's kind of how a lot of them are this week. I'm not sure if I could jump on board with Carolina.
Okay. Well, we'll pencil it in as a pass for now.
We've got Minnesota at Dallas. This is a marquee game. They have a lot of good NFC games this week. Minnesota's going to Dallas, and they're getting 3 points. Dallas certainly has looked better. The key to them, as we talked about before, is not turning the ball over. You know, the net yards per play, they're at the top of the index. They're top of my index. It's really just the turnovers. If they don't turn the ball over, they win. Minnesota kind of let me down last week. They didn't play as well as we thought they would. And I got to be honest with you, they had some gaping holes in that defense for rushing. They do that against Dallas, it's good night. So I wouldn't be averse to taking Dallas in this spot.
Yeah, you can count me in for that. There's nothing better than fading Kirk Cousins in primetime games. And this one's going on Sunday night football. And I think his against the spread record in primetime games is abysmal, like less than 30%. I think that Dallas is going to be set up and looking to rock and roll coming off the big win from last week too. And I like the Cowboys as well.
Yeah, it's really a big game in the NFC kind of seeding. So the last one is another great game, Seattle at San Francisco, you know, battle NFC West. San Francisco is going to come out on top regardless in terms of standings, but this is an essential game for Seattle if they want to win the division. Now, San Francisco right now, they're laying 6 points at home. It's kind of a big number, but, you know, the index says it's maybe a little light, which is kind of weird.
I was hoping the index would say that.
Yeah, I think it should be more like 8 points, but I think it's just, you know, the Russell Wilson divisional factor. So you'd be all over San Francisco at this number?
Yeah, I would. I think I agree with you. I think this number is way light, especially when you consider San Francisco is now coming off the bye and Shanahan is likely drawing up plays for this game in particular. I mean, if you look at their records right now, this one will probably decide the division.
Yes.
Of course, LA Rams are going to have something to say about it, but
sure.
This is a massive game for the Niners, and I don't think Seattle is as good as their record indicates. Certainly, right. Russell Wilson has been carrying them to remarkable finishes, and he's been phenomenal so far this year. But on the other side of the ball, the defense is horrible. 27th ranked in DVOA, okay. And San Francisco has just been running over opponents on the offense. So you can sign me up for that. What are your thoughts?
No, I mean, it's one of the index picks this week. I mean, it's definitely a light number. We'll see if it goes up in the contest tomorrow. You know, it's just the only fear I have is that, you know, it's one of these things that the Niners are playing so well. They are at home. They're going to be the favorite. But, you know, Russell Wilson can make magic happen. And I mean, you saw it against Lamar Jackson against the Patriots. If he can get out to that pass rush and make big plays down the field, I mean, Tyler Lockett, the guy catches 4 balls a game and 2 of them are touchdowns.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
He is a touchdown machine.
And he doesn't even get separation. I mean, the ball is just perfectly placed. It's just kind of remarkable. You know, Russell's just playing really well. So, yeah, but I mean, you got to stick with your guns in terms of what we do here in terms of analysis. It's not just hunches. So I mean, it's got to be one of the picks.
Okay.
Yeah, just to run down the picks again from the index, and some of them we're going against, but you know, I still like the Bills at 2.5 at the Browns. The index says Chargers over Raiders. I think I would go the other way. Dolphins at Colts. That one, to me, is clearly a Dolphins pick, even though the index says Colts.
Mm-hmm.
I do think that some of that has to do with when Brissett or whatever is playing.
Or, and Josh Rosen on the other side, right?
Oh, yeah, exactly. Good point. Seahawks being the -6, and then the Ravens at Bengals, -10. You know, that would actually be technically the Ravens being the -10. So I'm going against the index picks a lot this week, but I think that what we've discussed, a lot of these are much tighter than they have been in the past, so it's not that clear.
Mm-hmm.
And then to me, some of this data can be flipped over, you know, given some of these spots like we talked about, like with the Ravens, obviously the Colts, and hopefully the 49ers come through.
Yeah, I mean, we got to factor in the motivation certainly as well. And I think the strength of schedule too. Maybe we can dive in a little bit more there between now and Saturday when we have to make these picks.
Exactly. Awesome. All right. Well, that wraps up episode 50 of the Side Action Podcast. We will, you know, we promised an NCAA basketball one. We're going to do it. We've been a bit kind of busy, so we're going to get to it. Hopefully this weekend, you'll see it soon, but hopefully you can use this information on football to win some money this week. I don't know, is anything else going on, Action?
Yeah, just trying to study up as much as I can. I think we're going to try and get this NCAA podcast recorded over the weekend and posted before week 2. Hopefully we'll have a little bit more information after watching some of these opening games and really get you some good picks moving into the season.
That's right. We want to start off on the right foot. The season started last night. Some pretty exciting games. I think you might have liked a tweet or retweeted a tweet about a bank shot from Kansas or something that might have crushed some people.
Yeah.
but we'll talk about how we analyze college basketball, too. We have a lot of good information. So it's always exciting. College basketball is our next favorite, at least my next favorite after the NFL. So exciting stuff. Well,
yeah
I mean, thank everybody for following us and listening to us. And we still want questions. We don't get a ton of them right now. It seems like early in the year we get a few more, and now it's just people are plugging in. But we still like all any kind of questions. If we're using terms you don't know, or you know, maybe just ideas on where you can get data or whatever. I mean, it's what we're here for.
Yeah, definitely reach out to us and be sure to like the podcast and rate us and provide comment and feedback too. We like to see all that. So appreciate your listens.
Absolutely. Well, follow us at Side Action Pod on Twitter. Follow me at Wegspool on Twitter and Instagram.
And you can follow me on Twitter at 31SRoberts.
All right, everybody.
Good luck this week.
Till later.
That's a wrap for this episode of the Side Action Podcast. We appreciate all of your listens and thank you for joining us. We'll see you all again next week on Thursday for some more hot picks and side action. Side Action Podcast, its owners and associates take no responsibility for the opinions or statements made by the show hosts or their guests. Statements or show topics are not necessarily the beliefs of this podcast, and opinions between talk show hosts may conflict. Individuals following the advice given on the podcast accept their own risk of losses from wagers made, as the Side Action Podcast, its owners, hosts, associates, or guests will not guarantee any advice given. The opinions and advice given on the Side Action Podcast is for entertainment purposes only. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Intro and outro and transition music credits. Song titles, Jerry 5 and District 4 by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.org. Licensed under Creative Commons Attribution 3.0. creativecommons.org/licenses/by 3.0.